Hello and welcome to this episode of Viewpoints. On this week's show, we'll spend most of our time strolling down the streets of Montreal's Little Burgundy Borough in the company of British photographer Andrew Jackson.
There's about 11% of the population are black. Why is this seen as a black space? That led me down a kind of an investigation of how, you know, spaces are racialized and how kind of race is spatialized in that sense. And we're all used to the idea of spaces being kind of racialized. There's a Little Italy or there's a Chinatown, but there are beneficial kind of outcomes for those communities, you know, financially in terms of business and so forth. But what happens when a space is seen to be black?
And then to the other end of the country, American flags are still flying high in the streets of Smithers, BC, leaving some residents feeling uneasy.
What do you think?
I think it sucks.
You want to see it taken down?
Yes, we do. I do.
They're not our friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest.
We should be together, you know. We're two countries that are side by side and help each other out with trade and everything else.
What do you think?
I think it's fine there.
Yeah.
Welcome to Viewpoints, local news nationwide.
Viewpoints. Listen to all our stories on frequencynews.ca.
Hello to you all. Nice to have you with us. My name is Boris Hassine. I'll be with you for the next half hour. This week, we'll be slowing down while we take a tour of one of Montreal's neighborhoods called Little Burgundy, or Petite Bourgogne in French. It's mostly an English-speaking neighborhood. It also used to be considered as a black neighborhood. British photographer Andrew Jackson first traveled to Montreal in 2017 and decided to adopt the city and province a couple of years later. His affection for black history and photography led him to investigate the specifics of Little Burgundy. His curiosity and work seduced Montreal's McCord Stewart Museum, who commissioned him to present an exhibition that shows just how much the area has evolved over the years. Little Burgundy, Evolving Montreal tells that story, one of community, family, and blackness, says Jackson, who is black himself. The exhibit is the third of a series produced by the museum spotlighting different Montreal neighborhoods. Jackson tells journalist Jules Bugel that he tried to capture the spirit of the black community in the Southwest Borough while grappling with the perceptions of criminality from the neighborhood's past. Through a mixture of portraits and details from the streetscape, Jackson's work showcases the people who have called Little Burgundy home, one of them being Jason Fraser, who is featured in the exhibition alongside several members of his family. Fraser and Jackson here talk about the project and the changing neighborhood with Jules Bugel in Montreal, Quebec.
Thank you both for being here.
Thank you very much for asking.
Thanks for having.
Andrew, you say you've been in Montreal since 2017, was it?
I initially came in 2017, but moved late 2019. And I kind of initially came on a... I'm originally from the UK, and I came out on a kind of Arts Council England grant to do... I guess, bridge international contacts. And my kind of first visit here, I did what I usually do as a black tourist. When I come to a new city, I Googled, where are the black spaces? And what came up via the first hit, which was from Wikipedia, was Little Burgundy. And as I kind of explored and interrogated this more, I kind of realized, well, there's about 11% of the population are black. Why is this seen as a black space? That led me down a kind of an investigation of how, you know, spaces are racialized and how kind of race is spatialized in that sense. And what I kind of came across from my research was that even though this has been a Little Burgundy has been historically black space for a very long period of time, it was really in the public consciousness linked to or called a black space in the 80s when it was linked to notions of criminality. And that led me down to that question, you know, that, you know, we're all used to the idea of spaces being kind of racialized. There's a Little Italy or there's a Chinatown, but there are beneficial kind of outcomes for those communities, you know, financially in terms of business and so forth. But what happens when a space is seen to be black? And there are very little benefits from that. There are lots of negatives for a space that's seen to be black in that sense.
Yeah, in your artist statement, you know, you talk about the idea of duality in black spaces. So at once freedom and security for black people, but at the same time, negative perceptions for outsiders and, you know, other people in the city who are not black. Why was that something that was important for you to document or to highlight?
I guess it was kind of interesting. I think in the main, communities are kind of constructed by those on the outside of communities. And because of its kind of linkages to notions of crime in the 80s and notions of failure, I was intrigued to find out, well, to look at the duality that for non-black people outside of Little Bernadine, because the only access they have to the space, because they don't physically go there, is through the news and through other kind of cultural kind of promotions which promote negativity. The space is linked to notions of failure. But for the people who have a lived experience of the space, it's a holder of their memories. It's a holder of their personal and communal histories. You know, for black people, especially black Anglo people, who, you know, in a space where predominant language is French and where their movements in other spaces in the city because of that are limited, you know, this is a space of sanctuary. This is a space of commonality. This is a space where people are on the same page. There isn't a need to explain themselves to people with a shared experience. And so you'll see this juxtaposition of images. You'll see these kind of very humane and humanistic portraits, and then juxtaposed next to, you know, an image of a window that might be boarded up. Now, and again, this gives, you know, the audience, and it kind of reveals a truth which they already perceive to exist in one sense. You know, for the outsider who sees this as a space of failure, they will see these boarded up windows. But for the person with a lived experience of the space, who might even have inhabited the space, you know, they might remember the childhood 10th birthday party in that space. They might remember the loving relationship, the parents, the siblings. They might remember a first kiss. It's a personal kind of emotion which they have, which the outsider to that space is unable to know in that sense.
Yeah, maybe I'll turn it over to you, Jason, then, because, you know, you told me that you were called Mr. Bergs, is that right? Some people call you that?
Yeah, it's a fact.
We've been talking a lot about the neighborhood and sort of perceptions of the neighborhood. You grew up in Little Burgundy.
Born and raised.
When you think about the neighborhood, you know, what comes to mind for you? What is Little Burgundy to you?
To me, Little Burgundy is a family. It's a community that back in the days before it was gentrified, or whatever you want to use, whatever you want to call it, before we ended up adding Griffintown to Little Burgundy, which wasn't always there. But back in the days, like, my grandma had 13 kids, and all of us were in, all of my father's brothers and sisters lived in Little Burgundy. So you can imagine walking from street to street where you know 90% of each block, where you couldn't do something bad before, by the time you got home, that your parents didn't know about, or it was so family orientated. That's always the first thing that comes to mind is family when I think of Little Burgundy.
Yeah, and several of the photographs in the exhibition are of you and members of your family. Actually, we have a clip that we can play where we were speaking about one of the photographs in particular. And this is your mom?
Yeah, that's Miss Patty Lane Fraser, the queen, the matriarch. That picture alone, when I got in here, this is the one that made me shed some tears. Just to see that my mom's going to be remembered. And here on an exhibition, like, nobody can ask for anything more than that. That's a blessing.
I want to go into more of this theme of family, because it's not just your mom, it's one of your daughters who's in the exhibition. You know, I know Andrew said that you connected him to people in Little Burgundy who are featured. How does it feel to, you spoke about it a little bit, we just heard, but how does it feel to walk into this art space, this museum space, and then see you and the people you know?
I'm still in amazement. I'm still in shock. Like, I still haven't took it in yet properly, because Like, I work here at McGill, so I pass that every day. I see my hands outside the museum. And to this day, like, I remember when we first started, when Andrew first came, I was like, I was just, you want to do this about me and our hood? He's like, yeah. And to see where we started from day one, and then to walk into that museum and seeing, like, this is two years we were just going around, and I was showing him the neighborhood and introducing him to new people, and to see the results of what it is now is just, I'm just in awe. Like, the whole day at the opening, all I was saying is, this is crazy. Like, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, how he portrayed our hood and got it in a museum. Like, I don't know how to put that in words. Like, it's just amazing that I'm looking there. We had a short film in there where my dad's talking to my brother, me talking to my son. There's just so many moments that when you walk in there, like, it was a heartfelt moment. Like, yeah, Berg's going to be remembered. Little Burgundy's going to be remembered some way, somehow. Like, you know, I thought when he said it, you know, I thought we're going to make a little film, do some pictures, put it on you on Facebook, Instagram. This is where my mind was. But when he's telling me it's going to be in a museum, and then to actually see it in a museum is mind blowing. Like, God is great.
Yeah, you mentioned since day one. Maybe the two of you can take me back to day one and talk about how this project got started, and then, you know, how the relationship between the two of you got started and opened up this exploration of the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think for me, the project started as a way for me to find a connection to Montreal, to find a connection to people who could understand me in one sense, you know. Going to Little Burgundy, coming to, you know, initially to Montreal, and, you know, struggling with language and struggling with a sense of belonging, and then going to a space where people could have a shared understanding of me, not just in terms of language, but also because of a shared understanding of me, the Caribbean, where my parents were from, or just, you know, I think the initial thing that stood out was the ways in which how similar and almost exactly the same this black space of Montreal was to this black space that I was used to in England. And the same cast of characters, the same problems, the same issues, the same joy, the same experiences. And it was just, for me, it was almost like a home from home in that sense. So I started the work as a way to, you know, meet people, to bond with people, to find a sense of belonging. And I initially did start at the church by Sven's and Charlene, and looked at the church, and I looked at the idea of the church being a hub, not just for the black community, but for kind of global Pan-Africanism, because there, you know, lots of black leaders historically and contemporary have been there. Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X's parents are married at the church, you know, Mount Nelson Mandela would be at the church.
I was married at the church. No,
it's important to mention too.
And I guess from there, you kind of just things snowball and you start to meet people beyond. But it was really not until I met Jason, and that was by Professor Ted Rutland, who was doing a Defund the Police event in Park Vignier.
Vignette.
Did I mention my French wasn't? Anyway, so like, I kind of was introduced to Jason. And I think, you know, we kind of connected straight away. I mentioned, you know, would like to do this photographic project. And I mentioned a film. And you'd mentioned that you were thinking about, you know, wanting to make a documentary or something.
Point.
And I think, you know, it wasn't until, like, I kind of met Jason and I saw, you know, the possibilities, perhaps. There were possibilities before, but it was a combination of meeting Jason and also, you know, around the same time getting the commission in that sense. And that gives you kind of an added kind of impetus to make this work. But I'm just going to round up by saying, you know, there's a weight and pressure with that, because, you know, you want to do justice to the community and to individuals. You know, people are sharing their lives with you. You know, they're making themselves visible at a time when, it, as a black person, it's not always good to be visible. You know, it's easier to hide away from the world in that sense. And so to share themselves and to make themselves visible, you know, it comes with a responsibility of care and trust. And, you know, I hope that people can see themselves within the photographs.
You know, speaking about visibility, I think what I hear from people in Little Burgundy is like there's a lot of kind of hometown pride over big names and people in the neighborhood who do well, but also maybe a sense that the broader Montreal community sees it in terms of policing and a frustration with that, with the way that it's been typecast. You mentioned meeting at a Defund the Police event, and some of the photographs in the exhibition are, you know, photographs of a young man who's been murdered, or they deal with really tough subjects and people who have gone through real hardship in their life. Maybe Jason, I'll throw it back to you first about, you know, when people from the outside have this perception of Little Burgundy, how do you sort of grapple with that and your own experience in the neighborhood?
Sadly, we've been dealing with it our whole lives. And this is why, like, I'm so thankful to Andrew, because the whole project was to show you the real Little Burgundy, but also show you that it's not the stereotypical neighborhood that you are talking about or are looking from the outside in at. One thing I loved about, like, because you asked me that question, why I think about family. One thing I loved about what Andrew did was focus on a family of both parents are there, comes from a family who both of his parents were there. Like, we're trying to show you that the times is changing slowly. Like, there's not as much houses without the fathers in there. Like, I've been married 25 years. I've been in my kids' life their whole lives. Like, my mother and father have been married 50 years. Like, the perception that we were just poor ghetto kids with no ambitions, this just getting brutalized by police or all, 'cause at one time it was a bad place, but certain circumstances put certain individuals forced to do certain things. Not always good, not always bad, but we are a product of our environment. So eventually certain situations that you can't prevent end up happening to you. But to only focus on a negative is just what the media usually used to portray Burgundy as. But now, when you hear Little Burgundy, you're not going to think of negative stereotypes. Now you're going to look and say, wait a minute. Look, there's family. Look, there's wedding pictures. There's more elderly women, there's elderly men, there's young men, there's so many different portraits of Little Burgundy in this exhibition, when now you're going to start maybe looking at us as, hey, you know, we're in 2025, and 1980 or 1990, there were no white people or any other race playing in a park with their kids and walking their dogs. 2025, there's multi races in the park chilling. No worries, no violence is going around. You can be comfortable in the park. For me, just that difference in the last 40 years, seeing that transition, that it was negative and now it's positive, why not showcase it? Why not show the world or the rest of Canada an example? When something in Little Burgundy is negative, the first thing they're going to say on the news is, well, in Little Burgundy, this happened today. In Little Burgundy, but when something's positive in the news, they either call it Sud-West or they call it Griffintown. It's never showcased in a positive way. It's always, when it's in a positive way, it's always something else. It's not Obama came to eat at the Burgundy Lion in Little Burgundy. He came to eat in Griffintown. We know he came to Little Burgundy. We know he came to the black neighborhood, but they're not going to showcase these kind of things. Now it's starting to slowly, because like they're always showcasing Oliver Jones, Charlie Biddles. There's nothing wrong with that. But these are celebrities. These are well-known individuals around the world. But I'm just showcasing the guys who, in my case, I'm just a normal guy from the hood.
And what's the reception been like? It's all been almost a week since the exhibition launched. You know, what have you both been hearing?
I've been getting so many. I'm proud of you. That's the most important compliments I've been getting, is I'm proud of you. I thank you for putting our our hood out there. Because this is not just a me project. Like, this is Burgundy. Like, Andrew happened to focus on me a little bit, but I'm standing up for our hood. Like, this is our hoods in the museum. Like, this is incredible. Like, my favorite picture, well, one of my favorite pictures besides one of my mom and me and my daughter is the one that says Bergs with my jacket open. Like, that picture is, anybody from our hood is going to be like, yeah. Like, yeah, that's love. Like we're a different breed. Keep on saying it.
I mean, you showed up with the Berg's hat. You got the Bird's tat.
It's on me. It's on me and in me. Like, I rep it anywhere I go. Not in a negative way. It's just, I'm proud product of my environment. I'm proud of where I came from. And I'll tell anybody.
And Andrew, how are you feeling 1 week in?
I think the best thing about the reception of the work is that the people in the photographs and the people in the community have loved it. They're happy. And I think that was, you know, my biggest fear is that people might not like it or might be upset, more so the people from the community. But, you know, I've had, you know, emails and messages of, you know, congratulations and thanks. And I think the most important thing for me is that people can see themselves in the photographs. And that makes me happy.
Last question. We're almost at time here, but Jason, has Miss Patty, has your mom been to see the exhibition?
Not yet. I'm going to take, because the exhibition is allowing me to bring a group of my family and friends for just us for the day. So I'm going to just surprise her. Well, if she's not listening, surprise her and just bring her there. Because I know when she sees that, she's going to be so emotional. Like, but yeah, my dad, my brother as well, my wife, she was there. But my kids, we all got to go and take it in. I got a big family. Like, my family, my immediate family here in Montreal, like over 100 members.
Oh, wow. So it's going to be a party at the museum.
Kind of, yeah. And that's just a family. That's not even the friends. Like, so yeah, we have something planned. Like, God is good.
Amazing. And I know there are some special events planned as well that people can go to the McCord Stewart website to find out more about. You can also find more details about ticketing. The exhibition runs until the end of September, and visitors can go and see Andrew's photographs, the short films, as well as archival pieces from the museum. Jason Fraser, Andrew Jackson, thank you both so much for coming on CKUT.
Thank you very much.
I'm Jules Bijal with the Local Journalism Initiative.
Little Burgundy Evolving Montreal runs at the McCord Stewart Museum until September 28th.
Questions or comments? Our email is radio@frequencynews.ca. radio@frequencynews.ca.
Ever since the 1980s, the town of Smithers in British Columbia has hung flags from countries from around the world along its main street. One of those flags, the American flag, happens to hang outside of Skeena MP Taylor Bacharach's office. MP Bacharach has written to Smithers Mayor Gladys Atrill to request that it be taken down and replaced with the Canadian flag, given the recent threat of more Trump tariffs on Canadian steel, aluminum, lumber, and other Canadian goods. Bacharach told journalist Pamela Hassan, "I think, if anything, we should have the Canadian flag flying outside the office of the federal elected representative, and I've conveyed that to the mayor." Pamela Hassan also spoke to Mayor Atrill and asked people walking on Smithers Main Street what they really think about what the flag represents.
It's Taylor Bacharach. I'm the Member of Parliament for Skeena Buckley Valley.
So I'm sure you're getting interviewed about this a lot, but something that's within your line of vision is there's an American flag outside of your office in downtown Smithers on Main Street.
Yeah.
And I've heard you want that taken down. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the flag that's outside of the office. I think if anything, we should have the Canadian flag flying outside the office of the federal elected representative. Mm-hmm. I've conveyed that to the mayor.
Ever since the 1980s, the town of Smithers has hung flags from countries on poles along Main Street. Requests can be made to include countries as there are less poles than countries on the globe, and the town does its best to accommodate those requests. And so I asked Smithers Mayor Gladys Atrill what she thought.
Well, I feel fine about it. I think personally, you know, there's so much going on right now that I think is important for us to remember what the issues are, and I am, like many Canadians, pretty upset with the decisions made by the American administration. I, like many, am becoming more and more fiercely patriotic about this country that I love. At the same time, I think one of the values of being Canadian is that we're welcoming people, and I'm not mad at American citizens. And this community has had long relationships with people who are American. So I do hope we're still a welcoming community.
And aside from one letter, this has not come to council yet.
No. Yeah. No, it hasn't.
Yeah, I just think given the times that we're in, I'd love to see the Canadian flag flying outside our office. We've been giving out a lot of Canadian flags. They've been very popular these days. It is one thing that people can get at their MP's office is you can get a Canadian flag in a number of different sizes. That said, it's not the hill I'm going to die on, and I'll leave it to the town of Smithers to make those kinds of decisions.
I went downtown Smithers, just outside of MP Bacharach's office, to ask people what they thought about the American flag hanging there, and here's some of what passersby had to say. What do you think?
I think it sucks.
You want to see it taken down?
Yes, we do. I do.
Yeah. What's your main reason of wanting to, because they do rotate these flags, right?
Yeah.
Trump? What is it? Yeah. It represents Trump for you?
Yeah.
They're not our friends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
Would you say October of 2024 you wouldn't have cared or noticed?
No.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't. I'd never noticed it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about the American flag hanging on Main Street?
It doesn't bother me in the slightest.
And in fact, you didn't even notice it?
I didn't notice it, no.
Thank you. So what do you think?
I don't really think, I think this will blow over between Canada and the United States. I think we should be together, you know, we're two countries that are side by side and help each other out with trade and everything else.
What do you think?
I don't have any problem with it. I think it's fine there.
Yeah.
So those are my words. Just, I didn't even notice it there, but since you brought it up, it looks fine there. I'm Canadian, but I have no problem with.
It's funny. I think I'm bringing a lot more people's attention to it than most people had seen.
I know. I've never seen it there until you pointed it out to me. So,
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're standing actually underneath the American flag here on Main Street.
Okay.
What do you think about it being there?
I don't mind at all.
Yeah.
Everybody's okay here. Yeah. I like it. It's colorful and pretty. I don't know.
Are you from Smithers?
I'm actually from Ontario.
What are your thoughts on the flag there?
Why are there any of those flags on Main Street? Nationalism is one of the first steps toward fascism. So any display of nationalism is not cool with me.
The American one. People are saying that they want to take the American one down.
Yes. I would like to see it come down too.
Yeah, you would?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure not all people in the United States agree with what's going on right now. You know, but as for Canada, I think that we should replace that flag with maybe a Canadian flag, or we should put the BC flag up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's it for us. A big thank you to both our journalists this week, Jules Bugiel and Pamela Hassan. Our national editors are Victoria Fenner and Conrad Fox. Viewpoints is produced by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative. I'm your host and producer, Boris Chassagne. Thanks for keeping us company this week, and until the next, ciao.